Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you joined us. We're in for a treat tonight. Our guest is Carol Morton. We'll bring her on in just a minute. And the topic is entering your own heart. Wow. Wow, if that doesn't just hit the nail on the head. You know, it's delightful for me to welcome you to the show as a human being living on this planet. I don't know what country you're from. I don't know what background, what your ethnic arena is. I don't need to know that. You're here now. And I celebrate that. When you show up for yourself by taking the actions to grow an understanding of who you are, it's like you're moving the rudder of your entire life. Tonight we're going to talk about the heart and the power of the heart. And wow, what a most incredible vehicle of expression the heart is. But more importantly, you showed up for this. You're here now, and there's a reason for everything. When you can integrate the aspect of your own truth, when you can reveal a clearer, cleaner understanding of just who you really are, you shift the rest of your life through your own consciousness. And there's a grace to this journey. You know, you don't ever read a story of some angelic being or deity coming down from the sky glowing pure white light and kazap, a human being is completely transformed into a glowing orb as well. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen for a reason. We're here for the human experience. Your soul's not going to reach over your shoulder and wipe away those elements of your life that your mind might be seeing as difficulties. There's no interference from outside of the human realm in a sense of erasing your, quote, struggles, otherwise known as lessons or opportunities. And so it's you, the human being, that chose to dial into the show tonight, that chose to listen to this episode. Maybe you're on a plane. Maybe you're driving in your car or you're sitting in your home. But by showing up for yourself, by following those simple, subtle little impulses that say, go do this, go do that, those are the doorways, those are the vehicles of change of who you are. You know, every minute you invest in yourself is a minute well spent. And the more you make it important for yourself to come to a better understanding of just who you are and why you're here and what opportunities await you, you more consciously engage the process of life itself. And when you're conscious in the process of life, it becomes alive. You see the exquisite elegance of the nature of nature. You as a human being is is participating in this nature of nature. And we're gonna talk about the heart tonight, and I'm not sure of a better topic. The heart and right next to the heart is the soul. I mean, those two are the 1-2 punch of a pretty damn exciting life when you can show up for it. For you to have chosen to listen to this episode, I suggest to you that you're here to be a powerful human being. Not in dominion over another, not in the Western mind of what, quote, power is, unquote. But when I talk about power, I talk about the ability to transform the situation, the ability to transform the paradigm, to see past the musings of the past, the conundrum of the confusion, and to be the point of presence, to be the seed, the idea of the new paradigm that can unfold in any particular situation. The heart, for sure, without a doubt, is the power organ, if we think of our bodies in this 3D sense. And to take the time to really understand your own heart, and like Carol says so well, enter your own heart, is to increase your ability to be a powerful person from this moment on. Doesn't mean you can't lose ground and go back to where you were. The choice is always there. But you didn't skip listening to this. You showed up. You're here now. I don't want to wait any longer. I want to talk about the heart. Carol Morton, I just love her spirit. She's an integrative psychotherapist, a mind-body-spirit medicine professional, a faculty member in the Master's in Psychology Department at the Western Institute for Social Research in Berkeley, California, and a public speaker. And she's also a doctoral and PhD candidate in the integrative and natural medicine based in quantum physics theory. Join me in welcoming Carol to the show. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Me as well. So you wrote a book, Entering Your Own Heart. What made you do that?
I did that because I fully understood that when we can enter our own heart and fully love ourselves, that love gets effortlessly extended. When we fully love ourselves, we know how to get past lack of trust. We know how to get past inner conflict. We know how to get past the pain and the suffering that sometimes life has brought to us. And then that understanding, that giving that we've learned to give to ourselves, effortlessly extends to others. And we move past any judgments, and we can fully accept ourselves, and therefore we fully accept others. That doesn't mean that we like their behavior necessarily, but we have compassion for who they are and why they may have done what they've done, and we move from a compassionate heart for ourselves and for others. So I like everything that you said. I was going to say I like everything that you said in the opening, because I thoroughly agree. One of the things that I was very committed to, and of course being a therapist for over 33 years, I got to really know fully the process of getting there. So we all know we want to love ourselves, but, you know, how do we actually do that? And this book is a detailed understanding, not a psychological understanding, but a psycho-spiritual understanding, which changes psychology. It makes it different when it's both psychological and spiritual. And the book explains just who you are as a beautiful psycho-spiritual being.
Well, now, how did you come across the psycho-spiritual aspect of these components?
Well, I came through my own spiritual awakening. I was also guided as I worked with people. It seemed like the information, when my heart was open and I wanted to help and I was totally focused, all this wisdom would come through. I was kind of surprised myself, you know, it's kind of like, wow, how did I get so smart? But it was like wonderful wisdom was coming through me, and eventually I could, you know, it would come down through my heart, and then I would store it in my brain. So I, over these many, many years, I was able to understand and put it all together and make it work. You know, I mean, see that we work. We're amazing, self-healing, beautiful beings. But just in a society of so much judgment, we can't see our beauty.
Oh, sure. I'm so impressed by the wisdom of my heart. I'm really not interested in what my ego knows anymore. And in fact, I'm forgetting more and more every day, and that doesn't seem to bother me. But the wisdom can show up in your heart, and I think there's so much wisdom available to us in our human experience that goes untouched, uncaptured, if you will, by the ego. It's almost like your ego's a ceiling fan on high speed, and your heart's throwing ideas up to your ego, and they just hit the blades and splatter. And it takes some discipline, I suggest, that you're just talking about this wisdom coming out of your own heart. You had to have a mind that could capture that and then turn around and convey it through either writing or speaking with some eloquence to honor the wisdom of the heart.
Well, one of the things that people may notice when they read my book is that everything is lowercase. The ego, the spirit self. I have everything lowercase. Spirit self isn't capitalized, and the ego is, because everything is holy, and even the ego is there to be loved. I like to think of the ego as the hurt child or the scared child. And many people are familiar with the concept of what you resist persists. Mm-hmm. So when we're calling ourselves sabotaging and we're mad at our ego and we're in resistance to our ego, that doesn't help, because then what we focus on is what we get. So if we're resisting our ego, then we're focusing only on our ego, and that's all we get to see. So when we just love the ego and say, okay, you're a scared child and you're scared, but we don't, you know, you don't have to be, because we're going to go focus over here and make this happen, even though you're trying to stop me because you think I'm going to get hurt. You know, so I like to think of everything as holy. Every aspect of our life, every situation, like you say, is an opportunity. It's a holy moment for us to have the ability to connect in with ourselves in a compassionate way rather than a judgmental way. And when we do that, that is the healing and the growing and the opening and the awakening. It's just as simple as that. It's simple and hard.
I like what you're saying about compassion. There's a line in in the poetry of Rumi that says the profane becomes sacred again. And you were just saying that all aspects of life have that sacred element. So if earlier in the show you talked about holding compassion for those elements of society that are not so desirable, how does compassion come into play as a vehicle of transformation? I mean, there's all this war and terrorism and whatnot playing out on the canvas of life. How does compassion shift your own personal experience with that?
Well, in our culture, we believe in punishment. You know, so if someone does something against the law, they are punished by going to prison. And in prison, they're not treated with compassion. They're treated like punishment. You live in a dark cell and you don't get the best of anything, and you're just treated like you're a bad person. It doesn't have to be that way. If a person is so troubled that they don't know how to be sensitive to other people, they may hurt other people, they do need to be put away somewhere. We need to be protected from them if they're troubled. But we don't have to punish them because they're troubled people. So it's in the compassion that they can heal. But in the punishment, they don't heal. We know that people that go to prison, when they get out, they wind up back in again because they haven't healed. In my book, I talk about a tribe where if someone in the tribe did something wrong, they're brought into the center of their little square, and everyone else in the tribe has to come out and surround them. And one by one, each person in the tribe has to tell that person who is the wrongdoer what they know about them that's good.
Nice.
That is true criminal psychology. Because what you believe, you feel and behave. And so if you walk around feeling you're bad, you're going to behave badly. So when they are reminded that they're good, they do good. It's,
right.
It sounds so simple, but it's true.
It's the inspiration to turn it around.
It is, because, again, what you believe, you behave. So if I believe that I'm stupid, then I may never attempt to go to school. And then I may wind up being jealous of other people, and then I may steal something or, whatever. But it starts from that inner belief about yourself. And so my dedication is to help people uncover those unconscious beliefs that are causing them pain and show them that the world is a mirror to help them look inside and correct those mistaken beliefs.
So what roles, how do beliefs come into play when we consider entering our own heart?
Well, when we enter our own heart, what we're doing is we're going in acceptance of what is in there rather than in denial, so that we can correct the mistaken beliefs that are in there. You know, whether those beliefs came from your early childhood or from in utero experience, or if you brought it in from a past life, it really doesn't matter where they came from. They just need correction. And that's what my book teaches you how to do.
So when you enter your heart, how does that change your experience of your life?
Well, entering your own heart is the process of learning to be compassionate rather than judgmental. And I actually have a definition of love. Love the verb, not love the feeling, but love the action. And I say it has four food groups. The first is recognition, and the opposite of that would be denial. So to recognize what is true for yourself or for another is imperative to the expression of love. Choosing not to see what is true for ourselves or for another is to ignore, abandon, deny, or devalue one's experience. So that's the first action of love. The second is compassionate understanding, and the opposite is judgment. And so compassionate understanding is to express love, is to be willing to take the time to learn and fully understand the experience of another, or to truly comprehend our own experience, and it includes our emotional experience, and it's the willingness to stand in another's shoes or to fully comprehend our own experience and extend empathy. The third aspect of loving action is acceptance. The opposite of that would be rejection. And love and acceptance go hand in hand, and acceptance means to invite oneself or another into the space of belonging, the space within your heart. And the fourth action of loving behavior is having faith. So the opposite would be distrust. And offering love to oneself or another means seeing the self its highest possibility and holding the faith that that can be reached. So when you can relate to yourself in this loving way, you are in your heart. You are in love.
Nice. I like that.
Thank you. It's, I've created some exercises for people to do to find out where they don't, where they do more of one and less of another, and then how to strengthen that within themselves. Because, we live in a world that doesn't teach us how to truly love. We're taught to try to get love from other people, but we're not taught to love ourselves. Matter of fact, it's almost like you're bad if you do. it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. I think the more you love yourself, you start to see yourself in such a new light. I mean, it's those points of compassion, of understanding, of acceptance. As you grow in your self-love, the more you really genuinely, authentically love yourself for just exactly who you are, period, the more it's almost impossible to completely and totally love yourself and then be in judgment of another. It shifts your whole perspective of the world outside of you. And the more radical, from our Western point of view, that you can love yourself in this unconditional way, with acceptance that has no consideration whatsoever, then there's a place of peace in that, because nothing is required, there's no measurement stick to measure anything, because you're already in love.
You're right. You're totally right. Peace is the opposite of conflict, And when we love and accept ourselves, then we're not in conflict with ourselves or even with other people. That doesn't mean we choose to be with everyone. It doesn't mean that we don't protect ourselves from someone who's abusive, because we need to love ourselves enough to not let anybody, treat us badly. And but that's also loving, too, because to do the most loving thing for you is the most loving thing for others. If you stay in a relationship in which you allow someone to be rude and insensitive all the time, and you think that you make excuses for them, and you think that you're just being kind and compassionate, you're actually just helping them feel guiltier, because they know if they're not treating you well, that that's wrong, and they're just getting guiltier and guiltier, and the more guilty they feel, the more they hold themselves as a bad person, and that's painful. So it's very loving to be self-protective.
Oh, sure.
To both people.
Do you think when somebody observes you living in love of yourself, self-love, do you think that's scary to them?
No, I think you become an amazing role model. Because when I say, in a situation, I don't really want to do this thing, or no, I don't want to go there, or whatever, wherever is right for me, and I stand up for that, then they get to see that it's okay for them to take care of themselves as well. So you're a good role model.
Oh, yeah. I imagine no two people behave the same way, and some people can have a sense of self-guilt or whatever, that they don't deserve it or whatever, but I think the heart, especially to live in that space of your heart and to be transparent with the inherent love that is at the core of your being, I think all the rules at that point melt as far as what's, quote, supposed to or, quote, can happen. I think it transcends all the boundaries of expected behavior. It's such a cliche term, but it kind of breaks down all the barriers to what's possible. It's like a field of miracles, if you will.
Well, certainly it allows us to be authentic. And when we're authentic, the energy of our heart gets extended and people can feel our heart. And, then there's real communication, real positive energy communication going on. I studied with a Qigong healer many years ago. There's Qigong as a martial arts, but Qigong is a powerful way to affect energy and use energy. And so she had this teacher, Effie Chow was her name, has clinics around the world where she does Qigong medicine, and she uses the energy to help heal people. And I did this class with her where she showed us that you can observe two people where one person says something bad to the other person. And, through muscle testing.
Kinesiology.
Yeah. So she could show where if you watch someone do something nice for someone, your arm stays strong. And when you watch someone do something bad towards someone else, you weaken. And it's the same thing if it happens to you, or if you do, if it's directly in your behavior, someone's doing something negative to you, or you're doing something negative to them, or you're doing something good to them and they're doing something good to you, it actually energetically makes us either weak or strong. And then just observing that can make you weak or strong. So so I think when, like, I lived in New York City and I worked in Manhattan, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people during, you know, lunchtime walking on the street, and you have to kind of put up a guard all shield, as I say. You know, you got to put up a shield because there's a lot of negativity. It was interesting that when I came out to California in 1976, and I lived in San Francisco, where everyone was being more gentle with each other and was a lot calmer than Manhattan, I started, you know, I could feel those fences coming down, and I was relaxing more because I didn't have to guard myself, because there's so much going on and we are affected by everything. But when we live in love, that is the strongest energy. I've spoken from over many years to many different people, and some of the people believe in, you know, putting white light around you and doing various things for protection. And my belief is, if you're in love, that's it. You don't, you know, if you come from love, if you feel love in your heart, you don't need protection. That's the only protection. That's the only protection you need. It's a vibration that is stronger than the weaker vibrations of negativity.
Well, you mentioned the kinesiology of observing an act of kindness and a act of meanness.
Right.
So there's got to be a place. The sense I get in this moment is that that would be an interesting test to look at where you're coming from as the observer. And the thought I had was, when you have compassion for the person in a quote negative unquote modality, I suggest you could stay in a place of power.
Absolutely.
Based on,
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Totally.
But,
yeah,
you know, Jesus is walking around and he's like, oh, wait a minute, the feng shui really sucks here. Let's go over here and then I can heal you. You know, that's not power. It's just not. And if, you know, there's so many people putting out a shingle saying they've got the elixir, the Kool-Aid to enlighten you, and then they start putting conditions on power, and it's like, wait, stop, time out. Power is authentic. There is no condition. It's an inherent part of your being. And sometimes I think the language that people speak in really denotes if they are coming from a place of power. Because looking at your material, you have a very eloquent way with your words and your language, and there's a very clear eloquence to what you're saying, and to me that just reeks of a heart speaking through you as you, your heart throwing those words out there without a expectation of anything, and it's that clear surrender that gives you the ability to be in compassion and acceptance and understanding. And I think that's probably what makes your words so powerful.
I believe that my own healing, you know, my own trials and tribulations, where I had to learn how to enter my own heart. I had to learn to get past my negativity, my judgment of myself, my ideas that I got when I was very young, that I was somehow bad and wrong. And I had to fight past that and learn to give myself compassionate understanding. I had to say to my inner little child, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, you're innocent. And really get her to hear it based on how I treated her. Based on when I treated her with sensitivity and kindness and caring, and when I listened to her, when I said to her she was important by my behavior, she started seeing herself as good rather than as bad. So it's kind of like reparenting in a way. You know, it's like, sure, I could shift the energy of how I related to her, and she then started thinking differently about herself. So it is a process. It doesn't, you know, doesn't happen overnight.
Well,
but it's a nice process. You know, the way to love is through love. It's a nice process.
If you don't get results, increase the dosage.
Uh-huh.
Well, so as you were growing up, were there pivotal points along the way that that gave you deeper insights? That are there any that come to mind that you could share?
Well, you know, it wasn't while I was growing up, because my own story was a very hard story. I, you know, suffered a lot of abuse and therefore believed that I was, you know, if someone could treat me this way, I must be terrible. And it wasn't until I was older that I could realize I needed, you know, I was too unhappy and I needed therapy. And so it was in the process of therapy. I was lucky. I had a wonderful therapist who had compassion. And she could sit with me with my pain and help me have more compassion for myself, and just help me through that process of seeing myself differently. So, you know, my book teaches one how to do that. That doesn't mean that getting assistance, because I think having someone else there to sit with you, whether it's a therapist or a minister or just someone who's just not going to judge you and is going to love you no matter what, and can sit with you as you go through and correct the painful beliefs, is a wonderful support. But, you know, the book teaches you how to do it even without that. It's just nice. It's nice to have it in addition to that.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the journey back home, the journey back to our authentic self. It's like we put on all these really heavy overcoats of grief and torment and shame and guilt and betrayal and whatnot. And over time, it washes the truth from our eyes, and we can't see. And
we see a mistake.
Yeah, and then to come out of that, and for you to make that journey yourself, and then turn around and through the compassion of your heart, provide a vehicle of assistance to others with this book you've written is the thing itself. It's one person having compassion for another.
It's true. You know, as a therapist, you sit and listen to a lot of people with a lot of different issues, and And if you are well trained and you have a good heart and you've done your own work, then you're not going to have what they call countertransference, where you know your own stuff comes up based on what the other person is saying, because that gets in the way of you being there for them because you're getting caught up in your own stuff. And I'm very fortunate that I had enough healing that I'm just so with the other person that 5 minutes after they leave and a new client is in front of me, I would have to look at my book to remember who the other person was that I just saw, because right. I would be so with the person in front of me.
So
I mentioned to you earlier, that I used to go visit my spirit self, and when I was about to get my license, I'm looking for it in the book, I asked her, I visited her, and I asked her, what will really make me a healer? You know, how can I really be of help and really heal others? And she gave me this, she told me this beautiful thing, which I wrote down, and it's in the book, and I thought maybe you'd enjoy hearing it.
Please share it.
So this is what she said. She said, don't think, just love. To move from your heart, you must first be willing to be in it, which means that you must be willing to be with what's in your heart. You must be willing to feel your pain. If you want to touch the hearts of others, you must be willing to touch your own heart. Once you've moved through your own heart with its sadness, its fear and confusion, its terror, its fury, its bewilderment, its despair, then no one, not even the most insane, will scare you away. It's not the other person's insanity that scares us. It's our own insanity that we're afraid to touch. To heal the other, to truly touch and heal their hearts, you must first have made peace with your own heart. Then fear will have no foothold within you. Then there will be no meaning to the words sane or insane, angry or peaceful, happy or sad. Then the only question becomes, can you extend your heart? This is the beginning and the end of all that is meaningful. When you can fully extend your heart, then all that seems to have meaning dissipates, and the truth of what is meaningful comes to light. The truth is this simple and this difficult, this beautiful and this horrifying, this exciting and this boring. It is this and this alone, a violin string threaded through all of our hearts, vibrating love, one sound, one beautiful sound within each of us that we are all listening to. That's
beautiful.
What she told me.
Beautiful. I like it.
Thank you.
So Carol, you've written a book, and what other opportunities do people have? Do you speak to groups? Do you what other methods do you have?
I love going out and speaking to groups and teaching self-love and self-trust and self-respect, and how to develop a loving relationship within. I do workshops on occasion, and I do phone work with people who've read the book and want to get some additional support. And the book, the full name of the book is Entering Your Own Heart, A Guide to Developing Self-Love, Inner Peace, and Happiness. The Kindle version, well, all the versions are on Amazon, but if you order it through my website, which is www.enteringyourownheart.com, then 10% of the proceeds goes to feeding and educating destitute and disabled children in Calcutta, India, through a very wonderful organization. So I would, if people are interested in buying the book, I, you know, you can't get the Kindle version. You'd have to go to Amazon for that. But if you want the soft cover, if you could go to www.enteringyourownheart.com, you'd be helping some of the disabled and destitute children that need the help.
Well, so what's next for you? When you look at what you've created already through this compassionate heart of yours, what inklings or glimpses do you have of your own future?
Well, I expect to be writing my dissertation soon. I've got only 5 more classes to do out of 27, and then I've got my dissertation. And then I will be writing, so this book was really about the psycho-spiritual, you know, a psycho-spiritual understanding of who we are. The next book, my dissertation, which I hope will be also a book, will integrate the body and how quantum energy, which is the field of all possibilities, which is pretty much the same as God, or our spirit self, or how, you know, the all and the everything, that how that energy also influences us so that we can remain physically healthy. So that's my next big endeavor.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah, so you're maybe when I do that, you'll come have me on again and I'll talk about mind-body medicine.
Oh, I like that. The body, from my perspective, the body is the canvas that we experience our karma on. It's all through the sensation of our physical body. And
Yes, the body is the manifestation of the essence of who we are.
For the masculine, it's how you ground. And if you're not connected to your body, you're not grounded. And for the feminine, it's how you feel the infinite side of our feelings. So it's really, you know, like I said in the opening of the show, we're here for the human experience. And I have this notion that, you know, well, no deities come down in glowing orbs and zap our ass into enlightenment or whatever.
Right.
Because you have to have a ticket. You have to have a ticket to participate in this human story, and that ticket is your physical body. You have to be a human being. Because we're here to understand the nature of what it means to be human, and our body is the pivotal point of that, so to speak.
Well, you know, I talk in the book about how our body is like a drum, and our different emotions have a different vibration, and it's through our body that we can know whether the emotion that we're feeling is anger, or if the emotion is love, or the emotion is peace, or the emotion is sadness. You know, it's like it vibrates in our body and it tells us. So sometimes they say it's like a ringing bell, and in the book I actually define what each emotion means in terms of bringing us back to the belief that created that emotion. You know, we have a bladder, and where, you know, if we get a pain in our bladder, that pain is a communication tool, and it's telling us something in our bladder needs fixing, right? And we would rather have the pain and get that information than just one day walk down the street and collapse and die from a rotten bladder, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
So the emotion is also a feeling that's there to show us when a belief needs correction.
Sure.
So, you know, and so I actually in the book show you which emotions lead to which beliefs so that you can understand the vibration, and it can, and you can go back into your belief system and see, you know, oh, maybe I need to look at this. Maybe I've got a mistaken thought going on in here.
Right. I like that.
You know, I wrote something on compassion I think you might enjoy, sort, but it's my definition of compassion.
Yep, bring it.
Do I read it? Okay. It says, compassion is the true healing force born of love. It comes from both the mind and the heart in unity. It is the heart's empathy combined with the mind's understanding. Compassion for yourself is the only true path out of pain and judgment. Compassion is the antidote to judgment. Compassion for yourself is the only path to healing. Teaching compassion by offering it is a gift to the healing in others.
So, very nice.
Compassion is
it's, the power tool. It's the big gun when it comes to healing and returning to unity and cohesion. I like it.
It is the first step. Yes.
You know, once you get a taste of this self-love stuff, and you polish it, and you embody it, and you integrate it more and more into your everyday life, isn't it quite the ride to learn how to love yourself more and more as time goes by? I mean, it's like this ever unfolding, juicy, joyful story of what a wonderful life can be.
I didn't know that for my first 30 years, that life could be peaceful and serene and fulfilling and connected and filled with trust and self-respect. And, you know, I didn't know how capable I was, that I could do anything that I wanted to, that that I was capable. But all of that came from going inside and developing a loving relationship with myself. So, yeah, when you have that, you can make life be wonderful. You can. You have the power. You have the choice, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, the heart, I think the heart is such a core element to self-love, because as you forgive and learn to master compassion, you're purifying your own heart. And when your heart's pure, you start to see the really exquisite grace in the nature of nature, in how life is. Like you were saying earlier in your life, you weren't aware of how wonderful, how peaceful life could be. But the opportunity for that experience was there from the beginning of time. And when you come back and start immersing in it and cleansing yourself and anchoring yourself inside your own heart, then I think words kind of fall short, and that's why poetry comes in. I mean, you're trying to touch the divinity with English. I mean, I'm no feudalologist, but
yeah, Spanish and Italian does a better job.
Well, Carol, I wanted to thank you for being our guest on the show tonight. Do you want to just take another quick moment to let people know how to get in touch with you and get your book?
Well, yes, thank you. Yes, anyone who would like to read the book, go to www.enteringyourownheart.com, and you'll be able to take a look inside the book. It has that feature, and there's a little sweet video about it, and there's lots of testimonials of people who have read the book and felt that they've gotten things out of it. You can also, if you want the Kindle version, just go to Amazon. And I truly believe that there's going to be some very wonderful information, wisdom. There's many, many quotes. There's stories of healing from various clients. People have found that the book has been a good healing journey for them. So I hope that you will avail yourself of it. Les, thank you so, so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
All right, and thank you. Carol Morton, the author of Entering Your Own Heart. Check it out. You know, when we were talking about the heart tonight, there's really an element of power when it comes to being a powerful person, because love is the vehicle of all creation, and your heart is the vehicle of love itself. And our culture so often draws this idea of power as this what they describe as power is really just force. And as such, the people aren't allowed to be powerful in a meaningful way. And what I want to tell you is that power is your birthright. Power is inherent to our authenticity. When we talk about love in the heart, we're talking about the ability to be powerful in our human story. So don't let the idea of being a powerful person scare you or intimidate you or make you play small. You know, the world wants people who are authentic, who show up in a powerful place from within their own heart. It's okay for you to be powerful. It's okay. It's okay to have powerful ideas. It's okay to fulfill them and then turn around and do it again. We're here to understand the human story, the human condition, what possibilities it holds for us. So don't be afraid of your heart. Don't be afraid of your power. They know all about you. And again, I want to thank you for showing up for yourself. You know, it's always a beneficial thing when you take the time to learn more about the truth of who you really are. It's been a delight having you on the show tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.